You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Yes. Welcome, everybody, to Fantasy Sports Today, and happy Victoria Day to our neighbors to the north. Alongside Greg Sussman, Matty Modiga, and the Beast, Jake Allen Seeley. What's up, Jakey?
What's up, Mondo?
It was pretty good, man. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
How was your weekend?
It was good.
Yeah?
How many more questions you want to ask that I'm going to say good or fine to?
Did you enjoy Westworld?
I didn't watch Westworld. How many times do we have to have this conversation?
Until I remember. Sorry, Jake.
I don't have a way to watch Westworld.
I wanted to save this until the... by the way, great show today for everyone watching. We're going to go into some waiver wire ads. So I somehow fell into a rabbit hole of deep prospects, so we're going to get into that in a little
bit. So like every other show that we do.
Yeah, but this
All
one's
right, cool.
This one, I guarantee you, no one's heard of any of these names. Maybe one of them. Chris Paddock. Okay. No. We got to talk Austin Meadows. We got to talk Juan Soto. We're going to talk the names that you know, the most added, the most dropped, the most viewed, which I actually find almost more helpful than the most added, most dropped. Before that, though, no, you know what? I'm going to save this for the third segment. It was a football idea. I want to run it by Jake because we're doing some shows this week before we're off for Memorial Day. And I just wanted to see what Jake thought of the idea because he'll be a major part of it. We'll get to that in the third segment. And also, we got Scott Angle, who went to the ballpark, Mets versus Diamondbacks, and got us a bunch of audio on some Diamondbacks, including Patrick Corbin, who's from Syracuse. I asked Scott a bunch of questions to ask him about Syracuse, and actually revealed that I think his family owns one of the hot dog companies that Syracuse is famous for. So, anyway, Juan Soto, Matty Mo.
You got to be excited. About 19 years old, high A. He just, dominated everything. He only had a few bats at double A, but once again, I'm just bitter because I had Robles in a lot of leagues. I drafted him, and he would have been that guy. It worked out perfect for him to come up. But, Soto's here. If you have the money and you need this type of player, I'm not sure.
Well, what if you don't have the money?
And you're just going to sit on the sidelines and hope.
But I mean, let's just say you got like $432 left. Is Soto worth taking a big chunk of that out, or are you holding that for something else? Is he going to have that impact and that long-term effect?
I don't know if he's going to have the impact. He's going to have the opportunity, though. The opportunity is pretty much everything. It's the same thing with all these kids. If they come up and they hit, they stay. If you come up and you don't hit, you get demoted. For what Soto has done, it's really impressive. He has the plate skills. I just don't know for fantasy. It's not like a guy that's going to steal you 20 bases as well. I don't think that's going to be the part of his game. But the Nationals need something. They need somebody out there. Why not go with him? If I had $432 left, maybe half of that, I'd go.
That's sizable. Jake, you were hemming and hawing about something in the background.
Yeah, because I'm not going to do it because it's the Nationals. Matt's not wrong in the fact that if he hits, you're going to not take him out of the lineup. But he has to be... not great, but he has to be at least good and well above average because this is the Nationals as well. They've done this before. They did it with Robles last year. They did it with Trey Turner at the beginning of his career. These guys come up super young, and if they don't produce, they send them right back down. They're very impatient with their youngsters and their history of this, and that's my biggest concern is you have the consideration of Robles coming back himself in a week or two, and that if he's hitting and we have the situation where Soto's not, he's going to get sent back down. Matt's right. If he's hitting, he's not coming out of the lineup because he is one of their best talents. But the reason I'm not spending that much and the reason I am hemming and hawing is because there's a very thin line of if he's not doing it, he's not staying up in the majors.
Greggy?
It's interesting, and it's tough because Jake's right. The Nationals have shown a propensity to bring a player all the way up only to send him right back down. And you need to hit like immediately, like Mike Trout style immediately.
Mike Trout didn't start hitting, actually, immediately.
Not the first time he got called up in August, the year later he did. But he has to immediately produce Cody Bellinger style last year. Otherwise, that's it. And I think when you're spending all this fab on him, as you did yesterday, I think it's really, really dangerous.
There is a difference here, though, I do want to point out. Okay. This is like a make or break year for the Nationals. They're going for it here. Harper's probably gone. Soto and Robles are the future outfielders. You're going to see those guys. If Adam Eaton can ever stay healthy, that would be the Nationals' outfield of the future. I think what we're going to see with teams going forward on these top prospects, not just every prospect, but the Uber guys are going to start to get legitimate contracts, and they're going to try and buy out a lot of these arbitration years and stuff like that going forward. I think that's a smart way to go about it. Not Scott Kingery. We're talking like, you know, Vlad Guerrero Jr. and stuff like that. So I think, look, they're at the point where they need this. Michael Taylor doesn't hit. He steals bases, which is great.
Right.
He plays defense. But if a guy like Soto could come in and give them what they need right now, he can stay the rest of the way. I mean,
so you're willing to take the risk that Greg isn't,
It depends on a lot of things. If I'm, you know, if I'm in the bottom half, or if I'm in the second half of the standings, I'm pretty much got to start doing something. I need some sort of spark. I need to take a gamble. If I'm in the top half, maybe I don't have to. Maybe I can wait for Vlad Guerrero if he's not yet in that league. I can say, you know what, I'm doing really good. I have the money. Let me save it for Vlad. I'll take a shot at getting him. I mean, you have to factor in a lot of things. I'm a person that likes to spend, likes to take, you know, this is a bigger shot you got to take, though. So you have to weigh the risk versus reward here.
We're looking at, what, 8 games above A-ball? That's like, he very well could struggle, strike out quite a bit. I know the minor league profile doesn't have him striking out that much, but you're jumping as much as he has. I think it's dangerous. I think it's got to depend on your league. Matt's right. It's got to depend on a lot of factors. I don't know that this is just a slam dunk that I think a lot of people expect it to be, though.
Let me run through. I mean, so people are going to have to make these choices. A, Fab. Mm-hmm. B, who do you let go? Jake, would you release a Jose Peraza for Juan Soto?
I have no problem with that. Peraza's been a massive disappointment. Basically, all you're kind of hoping for with him to begin with was steals.
Yeah, I mean, I own Jose Peraza. I'd love to do that. I don't have another person to replace him with. I don't have a middle infielder to replace him with.
Okay. I'm just trying to throw some. Yeah.
But yes, I would like to do that. I don't think I can.
Jerks and Profar, Greggy.
Yes, I would do that.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah,
I have Profar. I mean,
even with the downfalls that Soto might not hit, and he might just kind of go back down in a week.
I think you have to take that chance. And it's not like Profar is this. I know once upon a time he was the number one prospect. That was many moons ago.
Sorry, Nando.
No, it's no problem. I'm just trying to find the person here that's going to. Lorenzo Cain seems like too much.
No,
you don't
no,
drop
no,
Lorenzo
Cain. Cain's
no.
Solid player.
I'm sorry. I'm going through these players kind of like just Matt Adams. How about Matt Adams?
I would probably
Matt
take
Adams
the chance.
Or Juan Soto.
I would take the chance on Soto just for the fact that I've been. Look, I got Adams for $81 a couple of weeks ago in an important league. But I'm trying to point out from last year, he had one really good month. Everybody's saying he had this monster year. He did not. After, like, June 21st, he hit 7 home runs the rest of the season. And they moved Freddie Freeman, the franchise player, to third base for him. So, look, Matt Adams, maybe it's totally changed this year. I know he slumped the last week. Everybody's going to – he was so hot that he had to come down. But, I mean, I would like to have Matt Adams, but I would take the shot on Soto.
All right. Jakey, Chris Davis is battling a groin issue right now. I noticed in my CBS league where I have my deactivated him, you know, they tell you how many own him and how many activate him. He's down to like 53% active, close to 100% owned. Is this a situation where you just put this guy on your bench and put anyone up instead of him?
I don't know about anyone, because if anyone is somebody that's in a platoon or somebody who only plays 3 times a week, you might as well just roll out there and say, hopefully Chris Davis gets the back half of the week. But this is a perfect example of why I hate weekly transaction leagues or weekly roster leagues, is because I want the flexibility. Because you look at Schwarber the year before, anything like that, I have to sit here and make that kind of decision because I'm not allowed to change my lineup on Wednesday.
Well, how about Schwarber? There's a perfect example.
I would put Schwarber in over him for the entire week.
Over Chris Davis?
Yeah. The average isn't that different. The power is similar. I mean, if at least Schwarber, you know, is going to get 4. Maybe he gets 4.5 with the sitting against with lefties, comes out late in the game. But you're going to get that. If Chris Davis, it's the whole risk. As I'm saying, if you have a daily transaction league, obviously you can wait. If you don't, he could not be activated or not activated, but come back off the bench on Friday. And then what? You're getting 2 games, maybe 3?
I don't understand why these leagues haven't got, like, I don't understand if there's a game at 1 o'clock, the whole roster locks.
Right.
I mean, it's 2018. That sounds so antiquated. That's number one. Number two, I prefer the weekly league with the way the NFBC does it, where it's Monday through Thursday for hitters, and then you can change. I think that's fair. It allows you to play splits and stuff like that.
That's at least a happy medium.
I don't know why they, you know, leagues wouldn't even go to that format. And the pitchers are in for the whole week, which I kind of like because it avoids just constant streaming and stuff like that.
I think it's a tough sell. I mean, baseball is already too complicated, Greg. It's like, just make it easier once a week. Like, if you start going, oh, Monday to Thursday, you can set up these guys, but not these other guys.
No, you know my – go ahead. No, you said Greg. Go ahead. Fine, whatever.
No, Jake, go ahead, please.
If you want to do weekly and a daily, you can still do it. On Sunday, guess what? If you set your lineup for the entire week in a daily transaction league, that's going to be your same lineup for the entire week if you don't touch it. You can still be that person. You can jump ahead till Friday and switch out your pitchers on Friday, and the roster will change itself on Friday because you already made that move. You don't have to change it every single day. At least with daily, you give the answer to everybody.
By the way, breaking news. I got a reply from Todd Zola on a score sheet trade offer that I sent him this weekend. Interesting. I asked him, well, he's got Matt Strom,
right? I don't know. Does like 70% of the people following us even know what score sheet is?
No, oh, score sheet's the greatest. Score sheet's a sim game. It's fantasy. It's not like seasons pass. You use this season. So every week it takes all the stats your players did and pits them against like all the players on my opponent's teams. But I mean, it's still the end of the day. It's still a fantasy league. And you're still talking about values. And I've got a thing for Matt Strom. Pretty hardcore. And Todd asked for Adalberto Mondesi. Which I might do.
I think Mondesi.
It's keeper league. He's got to be keeper.
Oh, it's a keeper? Oh, I'm not trading Mondesi.
I don't think Mondesi's going to be one of my 10 keepers. By the way, I made a lot of trades in this league. We're going to talk about that later on.
Well, I don't know where you are this season, but I think you're going to give up Mondesi.
I would give up Mondesi, yeah.
I think he's got to get called up sooner than later.
It does seem crazy.
And he has the ability to steal bases that he has, the speed. It, you know, he's not a super fantastic hitter. The plate skills aren't great. But he's a better hitter than I think a lot of people give him credit for.
Sorry to take us off track there. Greg, before Jake so rudely interrupted you, I mean, I don't know if you care about this. We can just move on to another topic.
I'm not Jake. You asked me a question, I'll answer it.
All right, cool. And said no. Hate it.
I feel I do hate it, to be honest with you. I feel very, very strongly, much like Jake. I hate weekly changes. I hate the fact that you can make do something on Monday and you can't update your lineup after that. It kills me, to be honest with you, because I feel like I have no control.
It's part of the game. That's why it's like Monopoly.
Last week on Monday, for Matt's point about the rosters locked at like noon because of that game, and then what's his face, Alan Hansen, goes on the DL at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah,
guess what? I got zero in that position for the entire week.
Yeah, but look, do you happen to meet with you, Darvish, one of the DL at like 7:55 p.m.
Yeah,
last
and you
Monday,
hated it.
Or two Mondays
it
ago.
And guess what? It shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, but that could have happened to anybody. Such is life.
Monday through Thursday.
I should have known that he had flu-like symptoms.
Yeah. I should have known Hansen was going to go to the DL since nobody was talking about the fact that he got hurt.
I'm just glad he's part of the Alan Hansen fan club now. Here's a question, Jake, and I'm going to almost guarantee the answer is yes. When you play Monopoly, do you put $200 in free parking?
No.
Oh.
All right. No, not at all.
It just seems like
free
that's
parking,
the way you...
Free parking is for chance and community chest, and if you get hit with the other stuff on the board, and then you put that stuff in there. You don't put $200 automatically in there.
Oh, so you still play the weird way.
It's not the weird way. Yeah, you play with the fees go in the middle.
Officially, Monopoly rules say nothing should.
That is correct.
Yeah.
I play
I know what the official Monopoly rules say.
All right, Jake. So I'm just saying that your approach to games.
I started playing an amateur way of Monopoly. I think we all have. And then we read the rules. You got to play everything by the book.
Yeah.
I think it's the best way to play.
Keeps it fair.
Does. Best way to play.
Next question.
Yeah, if you want the game to take 7 hours.
It doesn't take 7 hours.
It's going to take more if you keep giving people free stuff.
No, you can actually get more properties bought out. With the money you start with and not the addition except passing go, like that's why the game takes forever, is because it takes forever to buy all the properties.
No, so when you do it this way, you don't want to buy certain properties then, because you're not going to be able to pay mortgage on it to pay. So you're going to have to, like, the greens, like Pacific Avenue, which are usually so valuable when you play your way.
Yeah.
You don't want them in normal Monopoly.
Yeah.
Do you think people would watch a Monopoly tournament here?
Hope so.
If we put it on air?
I'd be so down.
Right?
I'd be so down.
We could have Jake Skype in, and then we'll just hire a hand to roll the dice for him.
I assume Sussman will be the top hat.
Yes, that's my piece.
The thimble?
Yep. No, I'm the top hat. Matt's correct.
Jake, what are you?
Also, do you guys... I'm sorry.
Jake's probably the car.
No, I actually really usually don't care. I've been the car, the boat, the dog. I usually let my niece pick.
I used to be a boat, and then I went to the top hat. Now, have you guys ever played Monopoly Deal?
No, that's bastardization.
It is a bastardization. But basically, what they did was they made...
What'd you call me?
They made Monopoly into a card game, a card style, like from the people of Monopoly.
Like Uno.
Sure.
All right.
And it's... You have to... The first person to get three Monopolies wins the game. Very fun game. I should buy it and bring it in and play that on air. That's actually much easier.
I don't know if it would have the same effect.
Okay.
Anyway, we're going to get to Francis
Cooler. Can we have a checkers tournament?
No, that would have definitely the same effect. No, I just think I could live stream watching a Monopoly game, I think.
Not a checkers game, though?
Anyway, no.
They should start learning Fortnite. $100 million being invested into it.
Pass.
People like Fortnite.
Veteran Frank are on that.
Not anymore.
I wish I was good at it.
At home.
Are we going to break down last night's episode of Westworld in segment two?
Why do I do this to you?
Listen, coming up, we got some great audio from the Arizona Diamondbacks. We're going to get over those. It's Brad Boxberger, Paul Goldschmidt, Jimmy Scherfe. I made Engel go talk to Jimmy Scherfe, which was fruitless because he didn't really give great answers, but whatever. And
how
Patrick
were the
Corbin.
Questions?
What?
Were the questions okay?
Although the questions were good because it's, well, you'll hear them. Actually, Scott basically went verbatim for me, which is awesome. So every time Scott goes to the ballpark, we're going to just throw him questions for some of the players. It's actually very cool hearing them.
Play Monopoly?
$200 and yeah. coming up still, Jung Ho Kang, Bartolo Colon, one of the most added players, Matt Harvey, Andrew Heaney versus Nick Pivetta. Who do you want?
Nick Pivetta.
Huh? Andrew Heaney.
Battle Royale coming up. Plus ideas for the football show and a bunch of super super deep Shedrick Long type prospects. Get googling. You guys all have the rundown. We'll see you back here in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
Friends, if you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
It's Carton and Friends.
What I don't like is a blowout NBA basketball. In the NBA, it's much like in Major League Baseball. If everyone knows you're throwing a fastball, guess what? They're going to hit the fastball.
Dead right.
It don't take a coach but one timeout to give you a defensive scheme to stop it.
This is what we looked forward to all season, and it's not living up to expectations.
No, it's no good. It's not good basketball. It's not fun to watch. Mm-hmm. If I'm watching Bruno Mars introduce Janet Jackson to something wrong.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Join the family at Modell Sporting Goods. Visit your nearest Modell's and sign up for our MVP Rewards program to receive insider deals all year round. Earn points on every purchase when you use your MVP card to earn Modell's cash back. It's our way of thanking you for being a loyal customer. Upon signing up, receive 10% off your purchase and 15% off your next purchase. It's that simple. Plus, new MVPs this month are eligible to win a $500 Modell's gift card. When you gotta play more and pay less, you gotta go to Mo's.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-292-8137 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-292-8137 for your free author submission kit. Again, that's 800-292-8137.
Welcome back, everybody. FST here on the Fantasy Sports Network. Greg Sussman, Manny Medica, Jiggy. I'm Nana DeFino. Our good friend Scott Engel runs RotoExperts.com. Goes to the ballpark, as a lot of people know. and has press pass privileges and talks to a lot of players for us. And a couple weeks ago, he's like, listen, I've been getting all this audio for everybody, which he has been. Like, he just goes, he asks questions. And we came up with the idea, like, well, why don't you let us submit some questions? You can ask one of the players we want, and then we'll use them on all the shows. He's like, yeah, okay, cool. So he got Paul Goldschmidt, Patrick Corbin, Brad Boxberger, and we threw in a Jimmy Scherfy. And we would have had Christian Walker if he didn't get sent down.
Oh.
So that would have been something. So let's start with Paul Goldschmidt. Scott asked, a lot of these guys know Scott because like he's been going to the locker room for a while, but also a bunch of these baseball players are fantasy football players. And when the crossover time happens, you know, Augusty. So I'll answer your questions if you could, you know, who are the top 10 running backs or whatever. So anyway, they're all kind of friendly with Scott. So let's start with Paul Goldschmidt. This is Scott Engel talking to Paul Goldschmidt in the Arizona Diamondbacks locker room this weekend.
Scott Engel with Paul Goldschmidt. Paul, maybe your personal numbers aren't like what you want them to be at this point in the season, but really how much does that matter when the team is in first place?
Yeah, I mean, that's why we play. You want to go out there and find a way to get in the playoffs and win the World Series and help your team do that. And, you know, just try to go out there and play and perform and help the team win. So, I mean, that's obviously you want the team to do number one, and that's where we're at. We'll just try to keep going. It's a long season. We've had a good start, but you know, there's a long way to go.
With your personal play, is it just a matter of maybe just being in early in the season and, you know, just one of those cold streaks you go through during a long year?
Yeah, you know, I just haven't really played as good as I need to, and you know, hasn't been for any one reason. Just try to go out there and prepare and play hard every day and try to help us win, and you know, hopefully it'll be better.
And also, you know, do you look at the analytics? Like, some of the players get into it, but you know, looking at the analytics, it doesn't seem like you're doing anything different than you usually do.
I guess that's good news. No, I'm not a guy who looks at stats. And yeah, you know, I just try to go out there and have a good bat, have a good at bat, prepare, and try to go out there and help us win. I think if I do that, you know, over the course of the season, everything will even out. But you know, sometimes I've done that this year, and other times I haven't. And so just try to show up and, like I said, have good at bats, hit the ball hard, and you know, hopefully they don't catch it.
What was your initial reaction to the humidor? And you know, is that something like a guy like you even thinks about? You know, I say to the listeners, like, you know, Paul's been doing this like forever. Probably not something he thinks about at his level. But what was your initial reaction? And how much do you really think about something like that when you make that change?
Oh, we're not thinking about it at all. I mean, that's out of your control. You're just trying to hit the ball hard. You know, what the ball does after it leaves your bat, that's out of your control. So, like I said, just have good at bats, hit the ball hard, and hopefully they don't catch it. And as far as the humidor, whatever effect it is having or is going to have, you know, it's on both teams. And so it's not like it's adding an advantage to one team or another. If it's a little different, then, you know, that's fine with us.
How much does it help the offense now? You recently got Steven Sousa back and you're getting Jake Lamb back. He was just activated.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a team effort for us to go out there and play well. And, you know, getting Sousa back and Lamb that have pretty much both been out the whole year. You know, we lose AJ last week, but that's part of it. Every team is dealing with injuries, so I think whatever guys are in the lineup will go out there and give their best effort and, you know, try to help us win.
Every year you're a first-round pick in fantasy baseball. Not that you play or know how it works, but I've seen a smile on your face already. You must take that as a compliment.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you want to go out there and perform for the guys that draft you, you know, the fantasy.
Thank God.
I can still hear it playing.
We're back.
Yeah, we're back.
Why don't we just leave our mics on? Let's leave our mics on during this.
All that Paul Goldschmidt,
so we can give commentary
gibberish
as we're going.
I just woke up from a nice siesta.
Jakey, what's wrong with Paul?
The listeners.
I mean, what he gave us wasn't a lot of insight. It seems like he doesn't know what's wrong with him. You got to buy low on Paul Goldschmidt. But I don't think anyone's going to be dumb enough to actually sell low on Paul Goldschmidt, right?
It doesn't seem that way. Not from what I've tossed the offers out there for, is everybody seems to want to still treat him as a first rounder.
What have
I'm
you tried?
I'm not going to buy him for that.
What have you tossed
not
out
gonna
there?
Try.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. I haven't tossed out specific players yet because both the owners I went to, one in labor and one in tout wars, are just both just saying, you know, do you want to talk about, are you open to trade? Basically saying, are you open to trading Paul Goldschmidt? Yes, I'm looking to buy him for less than the value to make that clear up front. And both owners are like, I'm not going to sell him for anything less than what his real value is. And that's the thing. I tweeted this last week or a week before Nando, and I said, why is it so hard to make trades in expert leagues? Is because all the owners want to do both. They want to say, no, I still believe in Quintana. I still believe in Goldschmidt. I still believe in this guy and this guy and whatever. He still needs to give me the draft capital. But then on the flip side, they're like, oh, but I still want to sell Tehran for what he's doing right now. And this guy, he's breaking out. I want his value now. Like, you can't have both. You can't never sell low and then always sell high. Like, you can't. That's why you don't make trades. That's why nobody trades with you.
That's a hypothetical you, right?
No, this is why I don't trade. This is why I don't get trades done with a lot of the people in these leagues.
I get trades done like no problem. I got 3 trades done in Scoresheet this weekend.
That's because nobody wants your guys because they're 15 years away from producing.
Not true. Like Luis Severino?
Yeah.
He's one of my Jose Berrios.
Barrios.
Yeah. I think I have Barrios.
All right, fine. Maybe that's true, and my tastes are a little different. But
I think a lot of people, look, nobody wants to sell Paul Goldschmidt right now. It's just FOMO. You're going to trade him now, and then he gets hot, and he's Paul Goldschmidt rest of the season.
Right.
And you took something. I understand your point. I totally get that. But it's just everybody wants to win a trade. And when I was in trade leagues, I wanted to do what was best for my team. If I had to take a little, if it was perceived I lost the trade, but I bolstered my roster.
Right.
And what I thought for the long run, I was fine with it. You're not going
to
win every trade.
Matt, as Chris Liss actually said this last year, and I still think it's the best way. It's the best way to make – this is how you should feel in a trade. He said, if you're not a little bit uneasy in what you're giving up, it's probably not a fair trade. Like, you should always kind of have that, wow, did I just give up too much? Because it's what it is. There's not supposed to be every trade you win the trade. Everybody wants to, but your goal shouldn't be to win the trade. It should be to better your team. And by bettering your team, sometimes you have to better the other team and give up value. I just made a trade in labor. I didn't feel good about it because I gave up Stanton. I sat there and I was like, eh, kind of feel like I'm giving up a little too much. Zinke emailed me this morning, and he thought it was a great trade. I didn't feel great about it.
Zinke just out of the blue was like, hey, great trade, buddy.
Well, because we were talking about trying to make a trade to begin with, and Zinke wanted way too much. He kept trying to give me Ian Kinsler, like he hasn't fallen off the cliff and hit every damn rock on the way down. It's true.
It's very graphic, though.
To tell me I'm wrong, though. But I sent Stanton. I'm punting saves at this point because I just don't want to finish last in labor. I sent Stanton, Giles, and Matt Harvey, and I got back Porcello, Odubel Herrera, and D. Gordon because I didn't have a second baseman.
I feel like you lost it. You lost that.
See, there's a perfect example. Yeah. Zinke thought I won it. He thought I'd clearly won it.
What is Zinke? He's never won anything.
But
yeah,
look,
he's never won anything.
Just kidding. Zinke's won like 6 extra.
You do have what, Aaron Judge on that team, right? So, I mean,
yes.
You're giving up Stanton. He got back a guy that's batting, what, 330, leading the league in steals, or was up there in the league.
And I had no second baseman. I literally have no second baseman. I have 5 guys on my DL that are second shortstop eligible.
Odubel, look, I mean, Odubel, can he? I don't know how long he's going to keep this, you know, torrid pace up, but he's a good player. And who's the other guy you got?
Rick Porcello.
I like Porcello, but he is what he is. Yeah.
Those Jordan Hicks, when he was hitting 105 on the radar gun, it was against Herrera, and he was like, they asked, why'd you fire it in so hard for him? He's like, the dude takes forever. So I just, you know, I wonder if he's going to frustrate a lot of other pitchers.
I enjoyed that at bat. I watched that at bat yesterday and stuff. I want to believe it's 105. I know the guns have been juiced the last couple of years. So.
The guns are juiced now.
They've been. I mean, they said like last year, you know, the miles per hour were up like a mile or so.
Right. We got some more D-backs to get to. Greg, we're going to go to Patrick Corbin.
As good as that one?
Goldschmidt was kind of dull, but it's still kind of cool to hear some of his perspective on things. Patrick Corbin actually offers a little more insight. He talks about a slider. Greg, are you Patrick Corbin?
I love Patrick Corbin.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
I want that velocity to get up, though.
His stuff was kind of interesting.
89 average the last 4 starts.
That's very bad.
He doesn't say anything about his velocity per se. Scott Engel asks him about it. He touches on it a little bit, but him talking about the slider is kind of interesting. So this is Patrick Corbin. And then Scott actually plugged some Syracuse questions that I made him ask. Here's Patrick Corbin.
Scott Engel here with Patrick Corbin. Patrick, looks like your strikeouts are up even more this year, career high K per 9. Do you feel that's because people are chasing outside the zone more?
It helps getting ahead of guys when you get in pitcher count.
Yeah, yes.
Well, it gets better.
They start swinging more, and slider's always been there. Just I think I'm doing a better job getting ahead of guys and being able to throw that pitch where I want to.
You feel like since last year, like you've thrown it even more since starting last year, like you have the ideal of command of it now?
That's always been a pitch I've had good command in. We've added the slower one in there, so, and then just being able to locate fastball inside and out. So just kind of having a good mix there with all those pitches and throwing the changeup occasionally.
What about throwing your sinker more than your four-seamer over the last 2 years? You feel that's been part of the reason for your success, especially early this year?
I think it helps. I think I'm locating better, just repeating my delivery, just kind of keeping hitters off balance, getting in pitcher counts, and getting ahead of guys.
And after your last start against the Dodgers, you know, your fastball was hitting about 92 miles an hour. How are you feeling about your velocity right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I feel fine. I mean, there's times during the year where you don't have your best fastball and you got to pitch with it. And location is huge. And just some days you'll have a plus fastball, some days you won't. Sometimes those games you end up having better numbers. So it's funny how it works. But you just still go out there, try to compete, and do the best you can.
That's what I like.
Let's pause that right there. Florio, let's cut it. Because that was the important question that I think we were waiting on. Because we have sat on the BFFs and on this show talking about Patrick Corbin's velocity for a while. And Matt just gave you the stat before we heard the audio. He's averaged 89 miles per hour on that fastball over the last four starts. I'm really glad that Scott brought that up to him. Basically, listen, you topped that at 92. You were topping at 95 3 weeks ago. What's going on? Are you concerned? And the important thing is that he isn't worried about it. He feels fine.
Yeah.
This is a guy that you have to remember has never exactly had a high velocity. The average fastball velocity over his entire career, I'll read it to you, back in 2012, 91.8, 93, 92.9, 92.6, 92.7, now this year, 91.7. He's never a guy that's consistently thrown 95 miles per hour. So maybe he's going through a bit of a dead arm phase right now or whatnot, because that does happen early in the year to players. But the important thing is he's healthy. He knows he needs to locate better. He has not located better in two out of his last three starts. He's walked a ton of guys, yesterday included. But what I think is important here is that the velocity hasn't been a killer. It certainly helped make him an elite starter in April. Now he's more of a mid-tier starter, but still successful.
I mean, my biggest qualm with Corbin is he's had intervals in his career where he's been dominant. Last season, he had a stretch where he was just outright dominant. And when I look at the last four starts, it's not just the velocity. He was hitting 92 in that previous start and stuff, and that's what you do want to see. It's encouraging. He doesn't have to, like Greg said, he's not a guy that's going to be a 95 consistently or 94 and stuff like that. But to me, the most important thing is when you look at the fastball and slider usage in April, it was, you know, the fastball came down. It was under 50%. The slider usage was like circa almost 40%, high 30s. And over these last few starts, it's gone the opposite way, which is kind of confusing to me when his fastball velocity has been down. He's been using it a lot more. So that's what I've found curious.
I like how he said, you know, sometimes when it's not at its peak levels, those are the games I have my best numbers. Say thanks, okay.
Well, that's like Kerry Wood. He had that 20 strikeout game. He said in the bullpen he couldn't throw a strike.
Jakey, in the YouTube chat room where your fan club is residing right now, we got some questions for you. I got a trade question. I got two great. You ready? Jackie, the Beast?
Sure.
We're gonna. This is the part of the show that's called Bartering with the Beast.
I like that.
Yeah,
title.
Right?
That
is good. Justin James wants to know, would you trade Paxton and Schwarber for Kershaw and Marte? Interesting.
Only if you can wait for them both to come back from injury. I would do definitely if I'm near the top of the standings and I'm going for the win, I would. But you're going to have to hold off and hope both of them come back healthy. There was just a report today that Marte could still be a little ways away.
Would that change if it was Ketel Marte?
Yeah, nobody's doing that.
Well, I'm just saying, hey, some people like the middle infield depth. You just said you don't have a second baseman.
And, yeah, somebody tried to offer me Ketel Marte, and I laughed at their face.
But you also get Clayton Kershaw.
God bless you, Matt.
God bless you.
Okay, nobody's doing the trade.
Okay,
next
fine. Here's the other one. This is from Storm Shadow 75X. Would you guys start this week Weaver, Flaherty, or Gohara? This is H2H Points League.
Ask Florio. I don't do that stuff.
What do you mean?
I'm going to go with Flaherty.
Yeah,
I don't even know who they're playing and stuff.
Florio says Flaherty. Greg, you want to make it a clean sweep?
Yes, sir.
All right, who's number two? Say you got to start two of these guys.
Gohara or?
Gohara or Weaver.
Hmm.
I forced Weaver on Greg last
point.
Year.
I'd go Weaver
because Gahara's been pitching in the bullpen. So I'll go Weaver.
Greg?
I'll go Weaver as well. I don't know how deep Gahara goes because he's pitching in the bullpen.
In two weeks, is this a different answer?
Is Gahara stretched out?
I mean,
potentially.
It could be.
BDM deal wants to know, he's got Cruz and Manea together. Who do you get? That's a tough one to just pull up out of here.
Well, what are you looking for, too? I mean,
either pitcher or hitter, he says.
I mean,
I think he's just looking
Sean
for some
Manea
kind of
post no hitter.
Yeah.
It hasn't been roses. I mean, but if your expectations coming into the year was like a 380 ERA guy with a possible upside somewhere near 350, all things in a perfect storm, you know, that's the whole thing. What were your expectations were never he was going to be as good as he was in April.
Are we talking like a Ryan? Could you get a Ryan Braun if you threw Cruz and Manea at someone?
Wait, Cruz and Manea.
Manea. Nelson Cruz.
I would want Ryan Braun. He's in the DL, and I got a feeling
Cruz isn't healthy either, and Manea is just a kind of whatever.
I don't care.
I mean, I would take Nelson Cruz straight up for, you know, Ryan. We drafted him ahead of, you know.
Jake.
I still think.
Jake, what were you going to say?
No, I just said there's no way I'm doing that.
Okay, well, give us a player then. If you got someone throwing you Manea.
No, I don't play this game. No.
Jake, be nice.
I don't play this game.
It's for Storm Shadow 75X.
I don't care. I'm not giving you the potential trades because the thing is, you can't just say, go get this guy because the owner might not need what you're giving him. Like, I could say, I'm trying to trade Alex Colomé because I'm punting saves. Like I said, I'm going for value where I can find to just stay out of the basement. I'm not going to go to Steve Gardner and say, hey, you're leading the league by 10 saves and you have three closers. Let me give you Alex Colomé for an outfielder. It doesn't work that way.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Because I'd like to help BDM deal. I'd like to help BDM deal now. Greggy, how about Joey Gallo? Joey Gallo for Cruz and Manea. Manea?
I'll take Cruz and Manea in that one.
I would want something else back with Gallo. I mean, Gallo and something else. I mean, because you are getting, look, say Cruz is healthy.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, you got Nelson Cruz. I don't care if he's 39. I know these nagging injuries. But from June 1st to October 1st, he can hit 30 home runs.
Manea
is still a good pitcher.
Ian Conn and Florio are getting me extra beastie. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'd love to know what Ian Conn is doing to you.
Well, I'll tell you after the break. There's your tease.
Well, no, I'm sorry. After the break, we have to get to the last two players.
All right. Oh,
just kidding. I'm just kidding, Jakey. We love you. FST returning after this with some very deep, deep, deep MLB prospect names you may never have heard of. Stay tuned.
The Corbin one.
What if I were to tell you that there was a professional football league where you, the fan, got to draft the team and call the plays? Is that something you might be interested in? The Fan Control Football League is bringing managerial control to the fans. Visit fcfl.io to learn more.
Is the most impressive rookie you have seen so far this season?
I don't know if I call Otani a rookie because he's got professional experience. So to me, it's easily Acuna. Meadows is a guy with occasional pop. You know, you take it when you get it. Torres has been very, very impressive, but I just think Acuna is, he's been clearly the best guy. Torres is probably second for me. I would
and
say
you just don't consider
also,
Otani a rookie.
I just don't.
Weekdays, 7 a.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Thanks. I think someone has a crush on you.
Okay, who?
Let's make a game of it. One of these is a lie. He's 6'4". He collects stuffed exotic birds. He spends his free time trying to save lives.
Are you talking about Kevin?
Yeah! He's a registered bone marrow donor. Last week he got a call. He might be a match.
He's so cute. Oh, he is.
You could be a life-saving match for a patient with blood cancer. Learn more at dkms.org.
Game time decisions.
I'm on the road right now with the band Homicide. Incredibly frustrating. Dealing with Cam is a pleasure, like next to dealing with some of these dudes. I'm not used to getting zapped by grown men. Being in a band, it's like a relationship. That's the hardest thing about being in a band, actually, is when you're on the road and getting into it with the band. Right after this show, I've got a band rehearsal because we got a big concert. And then immediately following that, I got a meet and greet with all the crazy fans. And we're really pushing it, man.
Weekdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The Fan Control
controlled football league is making fantasy football a reality. Like a real life version of Madden, fans will vote on all personnel decisions and play calls in real time, and what the fans say goes. Visit FCFL.io to learn more. The FCFL, where you're in control.
Welcome back, everybody. FST here on the Fantasy Sports Network, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Greg Sussman, Matt Abadiga, and Jake. Oh, sorry about that. And Jake, the Beast. Cena, mortal enemy of Ian Khan. And answering YouTube questions.
George Washington's going to kill you, bro.
And BDM deals.
George Washington's dead.
Wow.
That's messed up.
Jake was against the revolution.
We got some more questions we'll try to get to before we have to break off YouTube. We're not going to get to you know what? I just want to play one more for you. I want to the Jimmy Scherfe. So Jimmy Scherfe, I've had my eye on for like a year and a half. Probably, quote-unquote, future closer. Has some great stuff. Has been a closer all through the minors. So it's not like he was a starter and they moved him around. And actually, I think he has like something like 70-something minor league saves. So he's in the Arizona bullpen. So I gave Scott a bunch of questions to ask him. And this dude, it's like if he had a book of the most boring answers possible. So naturally, I'd like to play that right now so everyone can get a taste of... You know what? This is more of a taste of how frustrating it can kind of be when you think you have these great questions and you have this player who you've kind of been wondering about for a little while, like what's his mentality, this and that. Fun fact, in the middle of this interview, Chris Owings jumped in and kind of interview bombed him, asking some silly questions. Not many people must be interviewing Jimmy Scherfe. So it was kind of like his a miniature hazing, I guess. But here's Jimmy Scherfe, quote-unquote future closer, with Scott Angle being very difficult with his interview questions. Answers.
Jimmy, you had 73 saves in the minor leagues. Do you feel like there's a certain mentality that a closer has to have?
Not really. You just go out and try to execute the pitches and try to attack the zone as much as I can.
That's a great question and answer. Pause it, Florio. That's a great question.
Pause it, Florio, please.
Is there a closer mentality? No! Bam! Problem solved.
No, it's about someone likes Jimmy Scherfe.
Great. I love Jimmy Scherfe.
But what's crazy is Brad Boxberger, which I guess we're not going to have time to play, but Brad Boxberger in his interview was like, yeah, there's definitely a closer mentality.
So let's play the Brad Boxberger after
this. Well, let's finish Jimmy Scherfe so you can praise him more.
Okay.
Coming up here and maybe pitching in middle relief in the majors, mentality-wise or otherwise?
I just got to say the same, just keeping it positive and going out there and attacking the zone and just getting my routine done every day.
What about, you've been a reliever for your entire pro career. Some guys, go from starter to reliever. Do you feel that gives you an advantage?
I don't know. I haven't been a starter, so I don't really know that question.
Yeah, he's never been a starter. How could you ask that question, Scott?
He played a lot in the PCL.
That was my question.
It's a hit a friendly league.
He's never been a starter.
Came out of it pretty good.
Does he have an advantage?
He doesn't know. He's never done it.
He knows he doesn't have to change his mindset.
Do you feel like pitching in the PCL, though, really a hitter's league, kind of prepares you well for the majors?
I guess so. I mean... Never really thought about that.
Your questions are too hard, dude.
These are easy questions.
This is why Scherfe is boring to you.
What do you want to ask Jimmy Scherfe?
Is it too hard of a question?
He's a sneaky, funny dude.
Here's Chris Owens.
Great dude. Great
dude. Times Square.
Great dude.
So what's your focus now that you're here in the majors? You know, how much it's different than the minors, in terms of your selection and your mentality?
Gerald, you know
that one wasn't
same,
mine.
Same mentality.
Anyway, we can stop it there, Florio. That's basically the Jimmy Scherfe interview.
Let me guess. He's going to attack the strike zone.
Yeah, exactly. Right? He just kept saying it. So I didn't think those were bad questions. I thought they were respectful questions. Saying instead of just walking up to Jimmy Scherfe and being like, hey, man, how's your fastball? Like, listen, you were a reliever through all the minor leagues. You didn't have to go back and forth between starting and relieving. Does that mean you've come in with that mentality? Shouldn't that help you?
I would have asked him, is Han Solo going to be good this week?
You going to go?
I'm going to watch it. My expectations for these Star Wars movies have come so far down.
Yeah, you know what? I tried watching Last Jedi again, and the first half hour, I'm like, I was totally wrong. And then same thing happened with Phantom Menace. First half hour, I was like, totally wrong, great movie. And then I'm like, no, I remember why. This is bad.
I saw that.
Who's ever said the Phantom Menace was a great movie?
No, exactly, but the first 30 minutes are great.
Oh, okay.
I noticed, not noticed, I saw that Han Solo is in Star Wars are, for the time being, now sponsoring Solo cups. Like on the,
yeah, I saw that
that's smart.
On the bag, it's like just Solo and then, I guess,
Synergy, Han Solo. Baby, Synergy.
Smart, it was great.
Yeah.
Anyway, point is, keep an eye on Jimmy Scherfy. let's get some more questions.
I'll hear Boxberger.
What?
I'll hear Boxberger.
Let's get some questions first because we've got to cut off YouTube in like 5 minutes, and then we'll go to Boxberger. Yeah. If that's okay with everybody. Jake, is that cool? I know you don't like answering YouTube questions.
No, I answer like stupid questions.
All right, Brad Staples. He wants to know, are Michael Fulmer or Luis Castillo worthy of dropping for Miles Mikolas? Matty Mo, what do you think?
I'm not dropping Castillo yet. He was frustrating. I watched the start this past week, and I don't think he was getting back on track, but his upside is too good. I would drop off Fulmer for Miles Mikolas.
Jakey?
No, I agree, and I want somebody to tell us what's wrong with Fulmer. Like, this dude has just gone a 180 from where he was after the Mets traded him to the Tigers.
I feel like Fulmer's minor, if you go back and look at his minor league stats, they kind of were not as good as his numbers last year would indicate, Greggy. I'm more of a Carson Fulmer guy than a Michael Fulmer guy, to be honest.
I like Carson Fulmer. Yeah. I wanted to like Carson Fulmer even more, but he's very bad.
Yeah, it happens.
Kopech had a really good start, which he needed this weekend.
It's that with that team, that pitching staff, interesting what's happened to them this year. The ups and downs of Ronaldo Lopez, the downs of Lucas Giolito.
Oh, can I say one thing on Ronaldo Lopez? Yeah. He's a guy that I love to look at the advanced metrics and the peripherals, ERA indicators. And with certain players, you got to kind of scrap it. Because I think he's a player that has the potential to be a lot better than what his indicators suggest. It's like Aaron Sanchez to me has all the makings of somebody that could possibly win a Cy Young. The strikeouts will come and stuff. Probably not going to happen this year. But he's still young enough. He hasn't had the experience as a starter because he missed last year.
Right.
So certain players, you can't just go by the numbers. I'll say that.
So what's the conclusion?
A conclusion
that you
is,
want to add Ronaldo Lopez wherever you can?
I would want him on my team. He's not a guy that I'm going to die on a hill for, but he's a guy that in the back of your rotation, if he could spot start him, that's even great. But I'm just saying, he's not. If you look and you see a 522 xFIP,
yeah.
I don't think he's that bad. He's going to have games where he's going to walk four and strike out two, and he's going to have games where he's going to strike out eight and walk none.
And they're unpredictable when they're going to come, for the most part.
I think we'll see at some point maybe that light goes on.
Jakey. Well, actually, sorry. This is the Timber Maniac wants to know the dudes in the studio hear the same ads we do. Yes. Through here. It's mainly us talking. Right? The ads. Oh, so actually, the whole chat room is helping a lot of people with their questions. Perry Ng wants to know, do you drop Kyle Hendricks?
For what?
He just asked if you want to, can you drop Kyle Hendricks?
Oh, this is another question. It's like, for what? Drop for what? If you're in a 10-team league, maybe there's somebody out there. 12? I doubt it. So, like, for what? I'm not just dropping Hendricks just to get him off my roster.
Yeah, I think that'd be foolishness. I mean, maybe in a 10. I don't play 10 teams, but maybe that could be maybe the only one in a 12-team league. I think he's proven it. I was really high on him last year. This year, I stayed away for the most part. I just don't like guys that throw like 86 miles an hour. But he somehow seems to figure it out every season.
Jake, Jeff in the chat room just wants to know if you like fantasy baseball.
Yeah, I just hate stupid questions.
Oh, I love Jakey when he gets angry like that. All right, we're going to have to let YouTube go in a minute. I think Boxberger is probably only like a minute or so.
All right, cool.
It's a good interview.
All right.
Oh, we got 2.5 minutes we got. That's 2.5 minutes, and then we'll let YouTube go.
Okay.
Like we're holding you here, YouTube. all right, let's play. This is good stuff. This is access to players, and maybe we can hone our questions maybe if we're not doing well. I don't know. Jake, would you like to hear from Brad Boxberger?
Sure.
All right, because Jake wants it. Here's Brad Boxberger.
Scott Engel here with Brad Boxberger.
With Scott Engel, in case
Brad,
you weren't sure.
You have a very calm demeanor, it seems like, on the mound, like some other closers, a little more demonstrative, et cetera. Is that because just, you've been doing it before? You know, why are you so seemingly unflappable out there?
I think it's just part of my personality. I mean, I try to be myself out there, and that's the personality I have. So I just kind of try to stay within myself.
A microwave?
Do you believe
that's crazy
pitching
buzz, right?
In the ninth inning, that when you're in that ninth inning, that there's a different mentality to closing games
oh,
that you
God.
Have to have?
I think there's definitely a little bit of a different mentality.
Jimmy Scherfy for the learn from the veteran.
The final three outs are definitely can get a little interesting depending on how the game's going. But, those last six outs in any situation are tough.
No, six
seems
outs.
Like at least from an outside perspective, like we didn't know who was going to be the Arizona closer coming into the season, but you know, you were the guy that actually won the job, and now you got a nice back end of the bullpen with Archie Bradley and you. What was your mentality heading into the season, spring
Scott
training,
loves
about
mentality.
Possibly winning the job?
Going into spring training, I was just trying to stay healthy. I mean, the last couple of years I've had a little bit of hiccups in spring training, so it's just a matter of staying healthy and whatever the role was coming out of camp.
That's enough. It sounds like he's going
to
explode.
Fortunate
anyway.
To have the opportunity.
All right, Jake's had enough of Brad Boxberger, Florio.
And the buzz.
Well, the buzz is kind of, I don't know what that is. We'll have to take that up with Scott. We'll run into our AV department and see what's happening. That's Brad Boxberger. Jake, why don't you say goodbye to YouTube since you were so good at answering their questions today?
All right, get the hell out of here, YouTube.
Oh, Jake, be nice and plug the BFFs.
Listen to them. They're up next. They're better than us.
And what about On Target?
Yeah, it's back tomorrow. Special guest, Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh this week.
All right.
Arizona love.
Jakey gave up on Hollywood.
I mean, I gave up on Hollywood.
Well, I mean, you had the guy who made the Conan O'Brien show, and then you're back to fantasy people?
Now I'm trying to get Joe Thomas or D'Angelo Williams. We'll see if we can pull those off.
All right. Adios, our friends at YouTube. We love you all. Jake especially loves Ryan McGarry, president of the fan club. Wait, there is one question. Who gets married first, Jake Sussman, Florio, or Stanfel for Ryan McGarry?
It's a fair question.
Yeah.
Fair question.
Everyone's saying Sussman.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Florio does something crazy and just like elopes. If Sussman doesn't get married, if Sussman doesn't propose in Europe, then I got my money on Florio.
I'm not proposing in Europe.
Florio's going to get
drunk. The money's on Frank.
The money's on Frank.
He's the betting favorite.
Frank's absolutely the betting favorite.
Really?
No question.
I don't know.
I'd say, and I can be honest, Florio, turn your mic on. Frank's going to be first here. I'd probably be second, then Florio,
so
and then
Jake. So
you
guys are trying to say, Frank's
think,
a whipped
I think that's
man.
Fair. Me and Greggy are probably very close. Yeah. I would say Frank is by far, though, the betting
Yeah, Frank favorite. Is by far the favorite. Jake's by far last, probably.
Jake, I can see Jake eloping.
Jake's going to have a girlfriend first, though.
Yeah, I can see Jake finding a girlfriend and eloping.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure.
I think I know Jake pretty well, me and Ryan McGarry.
Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. We got a question about, is Lewis Brinson turning the corner, Matty Mo? So I pulled up his game log while you guys were talking shop. He had a good game yesterday, basically.
Is it just yesterday?
He has two home runs since May 10th.
He hit those two home runs in, wasn't that weekend in Milwaukee when he went back home and had some revenge?
That was a little over a month ago.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
don't know what's going on with Lewis Brinson. I thought he'd be way better than this, at least by now.
Look, it's some struggles. Maybe, he's putting a little pressure on himself and stuff. I think long-term he could be a good player. I didn't draft him anywhere. The Marlins team isn't too exciting to me. I like the guy like Malik Smith better late, where I know at least he should get the stolen bases. So he'd help me at least in that department.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I wouldn't say he's over and done with. I wouldn't give up on the guy.
Well, but they might send him down. I think
they probably should. Let him get hot for a month and do stuff like that.
Sure.
The Marlins aren't going anywhere, so, bring him back after the All-Star break.
All right, Jake, I got a series of names for you. I want to know which one you want to talk about. Bruzdar Gerritol. These are real names. Chris Paddock. Steven Gonsalves, Domingo Acevedo, Shedrick Long, or Nick Solak?
I know a couple of those names.
I know Nick Solak.
All right, well, Nick Solak, we opened his card here.
Steven Gonsalves, that's the team.
Yeah, Steven Gonsalves.
Whichever one had the most syllables?
I think it would be Steven Gonsalves.
Or was it the first one?
That first
name. Bruzdar Gerritol.
That's an amazing name, though.
That's five. That's same as the other one, so.
So listen, I think.
What's that first one? Who's the first one?
Bruzdar Gerritol. I think I'm saying this right. He's a 19-year-old Venezuelan. Got a 2.18 ERA and 0.995, which is basically a one whip, but it sounded weird just saying a one whip.
His last name sounds like a medication.
Gerritol. Look him up. 11.4K per nine. The only reason I know who he is, Scott White took him in the supplemental draft in our Dynasty League. So far in Class A this season, 0.93 ERA, 0.93 whip. The old double-double there you rarely get to see. 27 strikeouts and 19 in the third innings. He's in the Minnesota farm system.
Class A is a little too tough for me to get excited.
I know. But, I mean, this is like If you're playing Dynasty, you see these guys who are having these crazy numbers and high strikeout rates and keeping it up.
Gonzalez is the guy that's interesting.
Oh, Gonzalez, let's talk
because
about.
He's
actually
possibly,
yeah.
I'm assuming he's next in line.
He's got to be, right?
I mean, I was a little surprised when Romero got it. Not that Romero hasn't pitched better than him, say, in the minors, but I thought it was just his turn and, you know, he's put everything in. I have to assume at some point in the next month or two, we're going to see him in that rotation.
Is it Kyle Gibson?
No, I think Gibson, you know, I don't see Gibson going out of there. Lance Lynn has been terrible.
Santana's coming back.
Yeah, Big Irv is coming back, too.
Because you got Big Irv.
Johan Santana coming back?
Johan might be coming back, too.
You got Big Irv, Odorizzi.
Barrios.
Barrios. Lance Lynn's been terrible. So, yeah.
You put Lynn back in relief?
And what did they got Lynn for? 1 year? Is it a 1 year, $6 million deal or something like that?
It might be two.
It was two for 14?
Something like 2 for 12, maybe?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm speaking out of my mind.
I have it is a 1 year deal. 1 year, $12 million. That's it.
It's a lot of money.
Maybe Gonzalez is a trade. I don't think they'd trade him this close to breaking through, right?
I mean, I would assume. They need another pitcher. They need somebody that can strike people out and stuff like that. They've never really had that. Barrios has shown the propensity to do it, but he's got, you know, half his starts, he struck out 15 guys.
Yeah.
So it's either all or nothing with him.
It's an interesting situation in Minnesota.
And it's a great ballpark.
I can't believe how few runs they've scored this year.
I can.
Really?
Yes.
You thought with Buxton, Sano.
Well, they were saying, I was watching one of the broadcasts just recently.
Yeah.
Maybe it was last Thursday. And at this point, combined, there was 155 at bats between Sano and Buxton. And they counted a lot.
Stuff.
What's wrong, Jake?
It's enough with trying to make him a thing. Buxton is what he is at this point. People need to get over it.
Oh, sorry, we're hyping the number one overall pick from a couple of years ago.
So now,
yeah, because the number one overall pick hits every single time.
I'd say more times than not.
Was
he number one prospect, number one overall pick?
He was either it was 1, 2, or 3. It doesn't matter. Yeah, we see that bust all the time. That's the takeaway from Buxton. Just understand what Buxton is. He's not going to be an elite level player at this point. He's Byron Buxton, and people need to stop hoping that he's going to be more.
Sounds like Jake has some anger issues with Byron Buxton.
It does sound like that. I still think for fantasy purposes, he can be useful. And like I said, with speed, if he hits, 15 homers rest of the year.
Yeah.
Steals you 20-plus bases. I mean, these are possibilities.
On our way out, Greggy, what's up next? Live at 2 p.m. with Fantasy PFFs.
I'm just wondering why we end this show every year with Entourage's theme.
It's not our call.
Can be.
We want to pick a new song?
Yes.
We'll go through the EPM catalog later.
Something not... you think the four of us look like people like Entourage?
Jake does.
No. Hated.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Fantasy PFFs are next, live at 2 o'clock. See you tomorrow.